So the first thing that I wanted to do is the Aris Dvash Chelek Hay, Drush Hay, a Chelek Rishon of the Aris Dvash Drush Hay. The Aris Dvash, again, what is the theme? What is the idea? Nerves and anxieties abound. Sometimes they are from small and irrelevant things. The Chinese have a curse: you should live in interesting times. What they meant was more than just the typical anxieties about the economy and things like that. They're worried when you speak about interesting times. They're talking about big milchamas and big droughts and things like that. Big sakonas to life and limb and to the whole of the society. But the truth is that personal anxieties can eat up a person, even though they're not of the nature of very serious health problems or things that are genuinely of a concern, because the human nature is such that we make mountains out of molehills and we are overly concerned. The example that I gave last time, which we dwelt upon a little bit, is how much money does it take to raise a child until he finishes college? So the world is very preoccupied with the idea that it's going to cost me $1 million per child. How could I possibly have children? And this is the kind of preoccupation that we're talking about. So the Torah requires of us to have a certain level of anxiety and preoccupation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether it's in the asiyah of a mitzvah or whether it's in the actualization of one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a very, very large basket to fill up with anxieties of all kinds. Is my davening bekavana? Why isn't my davening bekavana? Do I feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Why don't I feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What about my learning? Am I learning enough? Do I have enough time to learn? Do I really care to learn? Why am I not caring about learning? Should I start the Daf Yomi when the next week comes around, or should I not start Daf Yomi when next week comes around? Will I feel the pressure of the Daf? Will I worry that I'm going to learn brachas, but I'm not going to make it through Shabbos and certainly not through Erev? So why should I begin just to have the anxiety of feeling falling behind, and the anxiety of not finishing something, and the anxiety of not being adequate to the task? V'chula v'chula, there's just an unlimited number of concerns and fears. Voltman gemeint that every yid, every erlich yid is a basket case, and nothing could be further from the truth. The anxieties that we have, we impose upon ourselves. Lo yoisi karasa yankiv ki yogata bi Yisrael is part of it. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's not me if you are yogeya, if you're exhausted. I would add a corollary to that. It's not me if you're going out of your mind from fear or from worry or being exhausted from your own inability to manage the level of Avodas Hashem that you imagine you have to have. This is not the derech of Torah. This is not the derech of Yirei Hashem Yisbarach. Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, Toisif Yomim. That's it. So it turns out to be a litmus test. If a person has anxieties in these areas, I know a lot of times people are using the model for OCD, for obsessive compulsive disorder, that model is washing your hands many, many times. Now, you can sometimes observe and see the difference between the two. There's the specific and precise concern to perform the mitzvah properly, where a person wants to guarantee that the entire hand is wet, and the number of times as indicated by the Shulchan Aruch, by Chazal. And then there's the person who can't stop and is in such a frenzy about it, that has nothing to do with the Torah. Even though it's concerning his netilas yadayim lemitzvah, but his preoccupation and obsession with it is not mitzad the Torah, not mitzad Yiras Shamayim, not mitzad the Shulchan Aruch. What is the measure? How are we going to know? The teretz is, you see, if the person is calm and besimcha, and he's doing it with a deliberateness, but with joy, that's a siman that's mitzad ha-mitzvah. If you see that the person is not is not joyous, there's no smile on his face, there's no simchas achayim in his eyes, then you know that it comes from a treif in a car. There's something wrong with the person. And this is true of every other aspect. The frenzy, and I want to add something. Many people think that the difference between a person who is concerned to do mitzvahs to the point of being very preoccupied with it, and I don't want to use the word obsessed, because that's a psychologically, you know, laden with all kinds of negatives. But a person who's very busy and very intent upon doing it right can appear to be obsessed. And the difference between that, people say, and being besimcha, is not taking the mitzvahs too seriously. In other words, you bake matzahs, there's a gvul. The matzah has to be beseder. 18 minutes, the way they do it, almost anything that happens, you're not likely to produce chametz, because it's well within the zman, and the busyness with the kneading of the dough has to sit there for much longer to be able to produce chametz, v'chulu, and you can develop an attitude that, what's the nafkamina? Just do it and get it over with. We have a lot of other things to do today to prepare for the Yom Tov. And then there's a person that reaches the level of the brisker of, and there's a preoccupation that goes beyond what anyone would expect is what the halacha requires, except for him. He apparently didn't feel that he was going above and beyond the call of duty. People make that terrible mistake that Yiddishkeit is not meant to impose itself upon you. It's meant to accommodate you. It's meant to make you feel good about yourself. And therefore, park your anxieties at the corner, at the door, means don't get too involved. Don't take it so seriously that it starts to eat you up. And that, of course, is nothing could be further from the truth. The Torah demands precision. The Torah demands consistency. The Torah demands that you do the job right. And this is part of what the Torah requires. And when it's difficult, you have to overcome those difficulties. And when it takes time, you have to spend the time. You know, no one looks at the Hasidim Rishonim, Shah Yishayim, Shah Achas, and says these are obsessive compulsive people as far as their Kavanah and Tefillah. This is simply because if you really want to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to be Peshit, your Malbush of Olam Hazeh a little bit, and you have to be Loivish, the Malbush of Olam Abba. You have to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world where, even though it's Melech HaLaretz Kvodo, but there's a certain Sneas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't let you feel him so immediately with such an immediate impact. You have to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Dirshus Hashem. If that's the case, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes a lot of intensity. And it sometimes takes so much time that if you do it right on the highest level, you have to ask, so when did they have time for learning Torah, like the Gemara asks? Same thing on Masmid. You know, it's true. What they say in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is absolutely true. A masmid is davus est in sight, and schloft in sight, and lernt in sight. This is 100% true. Hasmada is consistency more than anything else. Because what a consistent plan can do, nothing can do. Everybody can stay up all night Thursday night, but the question is whether Friday was destroyed as a result. You can stay up all Shavuos night also. Some people now have a thing to stay up both nights Shavuos. But the truth of the matter is that both nights Shavuot could cost you another week of learning. There is a certain chachma in the consistency of Essen insight, Schlafen insight, or Lernen insight. Doesn't change the fact that Hasmoda is the Rambam's third perek of Hilchus Talmud Torah. V'al ya'abed afilu layla achas b'sheina. It doesn't mean you shouldn't sleep, obviously, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't sleep an extra wink. That's what it means. You shouldn't sleep an extra wink, an unnecessary wink. Whatever you need, you should have, because otherwise your day won't be a day. Est in sight, schloft in sight, lernt in sight. But you have to go with an attitude of al ya'abed afilu shah achas b'sheina. And that is an extreme perspective. That is a very intense kind of life. So where is the simcha? Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev. So the answer is, ask every Talmud Chacham this question. Do you feel the anxiety of it? Do you feel the misery of it? Do you feel the pressure of it? or do you feel the exhilaration of it? Do you feel redeemed and relieved, or do you feel oppressed? And every single Talmud Chacham worth his salt is going to say, there's nothing like it in the world. And when you reach a madrega where you feel like you almost say Shalom Aleichem to the Rambam or to the Abaye and Rava, there's nothing. What do you think they were talking about? Ben Chayrin. The person in control of his matzav is not a person who is somehow by some magic able to do things that other people can't do, control his yitzarim, think a certain way. It takes a fantastic avoida. The Bali Musa are harving, not just in learning, but in the avoida of honing themselves and perfecting themselves. It's not easy, and it's not lightweight. But what happens as a result is so edifying, it's so enlarging, it's so encompassing, it's such a spiritual thing, that avada gevista, is no question about it, that this is a person's chiyus, whereas anxiety, in the negative sense, is a person's demise, because his life is not a life. Chayeyem einam chayim. An istinus is not a person who's very concerned to be clean. An istinus is a person whose life is full of monsters called dirt, bugs. You get the point. This is the difference. It's the same thing could be perceived in so totally opposite ways, because it has a lot to do with who you are and where you're coming from. And like the Brisker Rav says, which I always quote, he says, everybody has nerven. The question is what you have nerven about. So let's take a look inside at the words of the Yaris Dvash, because it's really something very special. Chayn Tamid, Ha'isha Ha'ilach Tamim, Fa'ein B'lishayna Kazav, Shu Tachlis Haraba Atzmuso, Kein L'choray Ala Kazav, Ve'ein Bay Rimiya, Ze Zoyche Ba'ilam Azeh Gamkin B'birchas Yitzchak L'yankiv, V'loy Shoylet Bay Kitru Geisav, Ha'yoyse Mitakin Apgam, V'shoymer Amunim, I'm not going to explain what he said until now, because the point that we need begins right here. If a person wants to worry about the future, and he thinks in long-range terms about all his concerns and his fears and his anxieties, maybe in the passage of time the market will go down, the business will falter, he's going to lose to competition. A person could be busy with worries about what's going to be 10, 20 years from now. He'll never come to the end of it. Maybe there'll be a war, and that will lead to his loss, which is going to lose everything he has. What's going to be with their health? What's going to be with their learning Torah? What's going to be with their shidduchim? That's what we said. He's going to waste his life away. There's many ways of wasting your life, and one of them is simply just by being worried all the time. This is his idea. We said it last time. I'm just repeating it. He's making a very interesting point. It's not pshat that a person is such a Baal Bitochen, that everybody is capable of being such a Baal Bitochen that he doesn't have to worry the next second. You know, really, the Rambam in Loi Shevet Levi Bilvad is really saying that. He's saying that a person who's leaving, he's pirish from this world completely, and his pirik oil of all the cheshbonos harabim asher bikshu bei adam, v'holach yosha kasha asoy lekim, So he's Neskadish Kodesh Kodoshim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. But the Rambam left out what is implicit in the Rambam. He didn't say Beferish, and that is that a person, since he can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, does rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. This is the person that identifies the driver of the bus, as I always say, is crystal clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is by him no shadow of a doubt that everything is going to be taken care of as it is meant to be by the Ratz and Habayre. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will have everything that he imagines he needs to have. It doesn't necessarily mean that his life will be one big petal after petal in the rose. It does not give a promise that everything will be as he perceives it. Al Hatzara Yosetoiv. Yemale Hashem Ishalos Libeinu Letoiva means as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it. And this person will in fact feel that everything that happens, Kol Ma Da'ovid Rachmona Tav Letav Ovid. And that is the person who is the ultimate Baal Bitochen. Even though the Rambam doesn't speak about Bitochen here, but when he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for him and he doesn't do a thing, that means that he doesn't have the worries either. Because if you worry, then that's a siman that you don't have that madrega of parak mimenu al cheshbonos harabim. Now, in that idea, I believe there are two brachas of parnosa in the Shemona Esrei. If you look at the perspective from the Rambam's point of view, that there is a person who has reached a level and a madrega that he doesn't have any daiga at all, not for the next minute even, that person, he has a bracha of parnosa, which we daven for him, and that bracha is not baruch aleinu. Baruch aleinu is the bracha of parnosa that comes from the land, that comes from Maisi Yidei Odom, from the Hishtadlus of Bezeas Apecha Toch Alechem. But there's another bracha which is not well understood, and I think that this helps us understand that bracha in the Shemona Esrei. Ala tzadikim ala chassidim. Yemuna rachamecha. And what do we want? Sein sacha toiv l'chol abaitachim b'shimcha be'emes. What is in a tzadik, what makes a tzadik, includes so many different components. A tzaddik has emuna, a tzaddik has shmiras haloshen, a tzaddik has a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that lives a certain kind of life. He learns all day. I mean, the tzaddikim, chassidim, zkenim, these are people who are immersed in 100 different ways in Avodas Hashem. His davening is unique, everything about him. Why is this bracha singling out the midah of bitachon? That is my question. Why is it singling out bitachon? Explain to me. Yemun rachamecha also, what's the rachamim that we're looking for here? Right? Sein socha toiv, also a question. Actually, the Maril's brother, if I'm not mistaken, asked him that question a long time ago. What is the loshen v'sein socha toiv? What is socha toiv? There's socha ra. Socha ra is a punishment. What's socha toiv? Socha is socha toiv. What's baitchem b'shimcha be'mes? Means to a fault, to the extreme. Absolutely. Right? And then it's an interesting thing. They're two different girsahs, but we follow here the girsah of the pasuk. Where is busha here? Where is the yamun rachamecha? We shouldn't have busha. What's busha? Where does busha come into the picture? Should he ask for a tzaddik that he should have bar yizgufa nahira ma'alya? Where is busha come in? V'loy nevosh ki v'chava tachno. And look at the end of the pasuk. Mishon u'mivtach latzadikim. The whole bracha bekitzer is speaking about midas habitachon, which by these tzaddikim that we are describing is to the extreme. It seems to me that the socha toiv is their panosa in olam hazeh. In other words, there are two sources of panosa depending upon our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's the regular relationship of the Mamin and the Yerei Shamayim, Avada, we're talking about Erlich HaYidin, But a person who expects to have a parnasa in Olam Hazeh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have a bracha, Chachamim should be mesakim for you a bracha. I give you the siyata d'shmaya, I give you the peiros, but you have to do your hishtadlus. And if you stop and you don't do your hishtadlus and you trust in other people to take care of you, that's not right. But what if a person, and what bracha, by the way, is that? Baruch Aleinu Hashanah Zes Kameis V'Asa L'Toivah. Same bracha, same talum batal bracha. Uvarech Shnaseinu means give us parnosa. Everybody knows that if you have to be mispal for somebody, for parnosa, the bracha, like for refu is in refuainu, for parnosa is in Baruch Aleinu. When you come to a tzaddikim, the tzaddikim are not doing anything to achieve parnosa. They have total bitachon. They are the people that the Rambam is describing at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, V'loy Shevet Levi Bilvad. And Hevinoi Madoi Uparak Mimenu Ol Cheshbonos HaRabim, we asked Ribbono Shel Olam to take care of these people, V'loy Neivosh Kivachava Tochnu, to make it so that nothing stands in the way that we should realize that they're being supported by you, so that there's no busho chlima. And the whole bracha is that Hashem should be the mishon u'miftach latzadikim, that nothing should shter. No other cheshbonos, no other inyonim. They should have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to proceed with this tremendous commitment to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the driver of the bus. And that is a person that can rely completely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Getting back to the Yaris Dvash, he's not talking about people who have such a level of bitachon. He's talking about El Chayidin. And he says that Avada Gevis, they are entitled to a Daigas Hayoim. What they're not entitled to and what they don't concern themselves about is a Daigas Mocher Yesh Mocher Lachazman. The day-to-day needs to be attended to. I have to worry about things. If I don't worry about things, if I throw myself completely out of the parsha of concern and worry, it's most likely going to be because it's not important enough for me. If I'm not concerned about my children's chinuch and hadrocha in yeshiva, I really don't care that much about what yeshiva he goes to. If I'm not that concerned about the hashpah, then I will not worry about who his friends are. And if I spend a sleepless night worrying about who his friends are, according to the Yaris Dvash, it's adarabah va'adarabah a chiyuvi. It's something that I really need to do. And it's the correct thing to do. Because the Daigas Hayoim is an absolute necessity. And I would add that even the person who has total bitachon, we're talking about bitachon and gashmius, but hakol b'day shamayim chutz miyira shamayim and yira shamayim, you can't have bitachon. You can't say it'll be all right. You can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. In yira shamayim and avodas Hashem, there's siyata, there's shmaya. Siyata means there's a help, there's an assistance. Assistance means you start and I come to shore it up. I help you, but I don't make it happen. So Avada Gevis, that even the tzaddik that's being described in Parnasa, there's no Daigas Hayoim. A regular person, there's a Daigas Hayoim of Parnasa. It's a serious Daigas Hayoim. For that kind of tzaddik level, Baal Bitochon, there's no Daigas Hayoim in Parnasa. When it comes to Yira Shamayim in Yonim, Avada, there's a Daigas Hayoim. But it's not a Daigas Mocher. You don't say, and what will be when they end up going to Eretz Yisrael, what's going to be with them and their Hashbois and their Yira Shamayim and their this and their davening? Why am I not worried about it? Because he's 5 years old. That's why I'm not worried about it, because he's 5 years old. And nor do I take into account all the cheshbonos of how much the tuition will cost me for the next 25 years when I worry about having children. It's absurd. The Ribbono Shel Olam is commanding you to have children, and the rest is as it is. And therefore, says the Yaris Dvash, this is the point that he's making, he says, the person who is doyeg this man muat ubaze yekel da'agosay v'yizba yomim betuva b'neimim V'zeu amr yiris Hashem toisif yomim she'ein loy rak yomim avul shnois rishoyim ki rishoyim eino mistapkin b'yomim rak b'shonim tiktsarina. He has a very unusual pshat, which is different than the Malbim and the others, and there's a difference in the way he understands the word yomim and shonim, because it's context heavy. In other words, he's learning yomim and shonim specifically here. Yiras Hashem toisif yomim means the person who's concerned only about yomim has more yomim. The person who's concerned about shonim loses shonim. And that's because the daigas shonim is the daiga of a rasha. This one thing about the Yaris Dvash, he didn't mince words, and he was speaking to his oilam, befe mole, but to his oilam. It wasn't philosophy, it wasn't theoretical, it was as lemaisa as you can get. This is the kind of Musa Shmuas that he aims for, he's going for broke, and he's not mincing any words. How will you be able to prepare for years from now when you really don't know bechlal even what tomorrow will bring? You cannot do that. He says, Ki Lashem niskenu alilois, u'mayeyois enoish lachshav dova yomim yomimo v'shav machshav isodom, u'klolo shal dova kolo oylam hazeh nichlal b'toyar yomim. V'izeh yesh l'farish ha'posu kach. You know, he's speaking about Mir Shachafetz Chaim. The David Omar Shneyam, Miyo Isha Chafetz Chaim Hain Oilam Abba, V'oyev Yomim Lirois Toiv Hain Oilam Azeh, Balzeh Nosan Aitzo, B'mebedesiyem Posach, V'gam Oilam Azeh, Koidim Loilam Abba, Haskin Atzmucha B'proizdor, Kadesh Dikonis Letraklin, V'omar Al Oilam Azeh, Netzor L'shoin Chomeyro, Tanu Mibli L'daber Kozov V'sheker Shura B'hechleit, that bring you to Olam Haba. Chai Nitzchi, he says a line later, Ha'ikar Lazev Averes Belaseis Toiv. So this is the amazing Hezber of the Yaris Dvash, that Oyev Yomim is a person that thinks in terms of Yomim. In the end of last shiur, I mentioned Bli Neder Bli Shvuah that we would look into the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara tells us again on this pasuk that there was a difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. I remember that Ezra Klein and Zalzain Gesundten Stark always used to come over to me. He learns the Daf Yomi a lot. And he says to me, he says, he cannot believe how many times he finds a remez in that particular Daf, that day, to something that's happening that day, either globally or personally. Well, here we have a very good example of that in our own learning. We are talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And we're talking about Bayis Rishon and talking about Bayis Sheni. And this is, of course, Erev Tisha B'Av. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Maidich Siv, Yiras Hashem Toisif Yomim, Ushnois Rishoyim Tiksarna. So Yiras Hashem Toisif Yomim is the Mikdash Rishoyin. Amad Arba Meyes Ve'eser Shonim V'loishim Shubay Eloshmoina Osa Kohanim Gedoilim. The exact Cheshbon notwithstanding, there were 18 Kohanim Gedoilim, and they spanned the entire Tkufa, which ran 410 years. Arba meis ve'eser shonim, 18 kayanim, in all. Ushnois rishoyim tiktsarna, and the years of the rishoyim, and we're speaking here about the kayanim gedolim of the Bayisheni, they're called rishoyim by this gemara, tiktsarna, they're shortened, zemikta sheni shamar arba meis ve'eser from shona, essentially the same amount of time, 10 years more. And now, in order to make the cheshbon much, much more powerful and the contrast so much greater, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, think about it for a minute, make the cheshbon not just 420 years and 300 kayanim, gedolim. Make the cheshbon how many years go away with certain individual kayanim gedolim, and then make the cheshbon of what's left and divide it by close to 300. That's the more accurate cheshbon. So what is it? Tzeimeim arboim shana sheshimesh shimon atzadik. Shmoinim shana that Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Remember the Chazal say, loylo mal yamin odom ba'atzmai, shari Yochanan Kohen Gadol shimesh bekuna shmoinim shana v'li b'soif na'aseh tzedoki. So you see that he was mishamish in the kuna gedola for such an unbelievable amount of time in Bayesheni, 80 years. We already knocked off 120 years, 40 from Shimon HaTzadik and 80 from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And then there's another 10 years of Rabbi Shmuel ben Fe'abi. So you're ending up, some say, another 11 years, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, but be that as it may, you're ending up with a huge number of years from the 420 suddenly been whittled down significantly, at least by a third, and that is the number of years left which there were 300 Kayhanim Gedolim. If that's the case, you have a right, says the Gemara, to call it Shnois Rishayim Tiktsarna. The Marsha on this, so the Gemara says, obviously, that if you make that kind of a cheshbon, that it's called echad ve'echad lo yhoitzi shnasai, they didn't even last a year. Zokta ma'asha, yiras Hashem taisif yomim ze mikdash rishayin v'taloy ma'ash shonim v'yomim shenigzru la'odam kefi ma'zolo yima'atim harbe kefi ha'gzeira. He says like this, the pshat of the pasuk is, person has a certain number of years in his genes, or according to the gzeira at his birth, whatever the cheshbon of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, can that ever change? So the answer is absolutely. It says, Yiras Hashem toisif la'odam yomim al yimei ha'gzeira, k'mo shemavsinu b'chizkiya, v'yisafti al yomecha chamesh esrei shona v'chein be'hefech, b'rishoyim, shnoiseyem shenigzru lahem tiktzarna. So he says, a different reason why it says, Yomim by Tzadikim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamali their year fully, so that it's Miyom Liyom. This explanation of Yomim is very different from the other explanations of Yomim that we've had. But the Etzem Nekuda of the Marsha is that Yosef Yomim and Tiktzarna, this is with on top of or in relation to the standard of what that person was meant to have at birth. Now, we have a problem. You know what our problem is? We have a problem individual who's called Yehoshua ben Gamla is described by the Gemara Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph in Yuma as having had the kahuna given to him as a gift, because it was purchased for him. Take a look. The Gemara says, Kohen HaGadol Me'echav, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, in the Parsha, Kohen HaGadol Me'echav, Gadleihu Mishalechav, says the Gemara. Gadol Me'echav means he has to be greater than all the other Kohanim. So whatever you can provide that makes him great, you can't give him brains, but whatever you can provide that makes him great, that you should provide. Sheigadol me'echa b'koyach b'noi b'chachma b'oisher. Acherim oimrim. Minayin shim ein loy she'echa v'akoyhanim megadlin oisoy. That's what I was talking about. Gadleihu mishalecha. Talmud loim v'akoyin ha'godol me'echa v'gadleihu mishalecha. So they provide. They pour in money until the point where he is richer than anybody else. Amar Rav Yosef. Lekashe kan b'mikdash rishin, kan b'mikdash sheni. Dama Ravasi Takava the Dinri Aila Le Marta Bas Baisis Liane Malka Al the Ukme Leshua Ben Gamla Bekahani Ravrivi. So the Gemara says that in Mikdash Rishain, as Rashi says, Loya Midu El Al Pitaira Kaihanim Huganim. In the Mikdash Rishain, this is parallel to what we've learned before, that Mikdash Rishain had only 18 Kohanim Doilim in the span of 410 years. But these people were very Erlich Hayidin. And they were chosen based on their milus. And In the case of Bayisheni, you have an example. This is just an example of many, because the Kahuna Gedoyla was a commodity that was bought and sold. And that's why you had so many of them, because they were not Anoshim Hugonim. So what's the example that the Gemara gives? That Marta Bas Baisas, Rashi says, Almona Ashira Haisa, she was a wealthy widow, the Kidsha Yeshua ben Gamla, and Yeshua ben Gamla married her, and Nosna Maman Liyanei HaMelech Umineu Liyos Kohen Gadol. And he was appointed by Yanai to be Kohen Gadol, because she bought the Kuna Gedoyla for him by Tarkava Tukav, which is half a saw of dinarim, of golden coins. A vast amount of money. So Yanai HaMelech profited, and he appointed as a result Yeshua ben Gamla. Now, the question is raised right there on the Gemara by the Ritva. Al Ukme Le Yeshua ben Gamla Bekohani Ravravi, that Yeshua ben Gamla got the Kuna Gdoila in this very insidious way. Veika de Kashile, Tahocha Mashma Shezeloi Hoyokoshin. It's mashma from here that it's very inappropriate, and he didn't deserve the Kuna Gdoila, and that she bought it for him, and that's why he had it. So obviously he wasn't such a Baal Madrega. He quotes the Gemara Baba Basitav Chafal from an Aleph, the famous Gemara. Shel Molehu, if it wouldn't be for Yeshua ben Gamla, Nishtakcha Torah Miyisrael. Yeshua ben Gamla went and started from scratch, and he made Balamdim, and he took the Tinoikas and the Yisoimim, and the people who didn't have their parents to teach them, and he made of them Talmidei Chachomim. Started teaching them. And this is the whole system of Yeshua ben Gamla, the system of education. So the question is, my high? Here's a person that his wife is buying the Kuna Gdoila for him, and here's a person that mamash changed the landscape of Klal Yisrael forever. So which is it? Zokt der Ritva v'yesh letaretz, ki achrei chein hichshir atzmai. In other words, Hitaka should not have taken the Kuna Gdoila, and it should not have been bought for him, and shouldn't have been part of that, and that was not appropriate. But afterwards, it's a choyske menschelt, hichshir atzmai. Acherim tirtzu, detrei Yeshua ben Gamla. That there are two, and or the name is different. In other words, he says that when she bought it for him, does not mean that he was not appropriate to be a kohen gadol be'etzem, but there were others who were ahead of him, and she outbid the others. So the fact that she got Yanai to give him the Kuhuna Gdoila was taka not right. The fact that it was bought instead of allowing the best person to get it was not right. But at the same time, of course, the idea that Yeshua ben Gamla himself is a kosher is not impugned. He's taka very big Baal Madrega, but there was somebody that should have become Kohen Gadol ahead of him because he was maybe a bigger Baal Madrega. So there are different terutzim here. Point out the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says, "Tomer Avasi Takav the Dinri, but Taisis Yishonim Kosa the Afagav the Yeshua Ben Gamla Hayachashuv, v'Haraya the Gemara and Baba Basra Chafala from an Aleph, become a Kam Hayutayvim Mimenu, and they should have been appointed to the Kuna Gdoila, and instead it was bought for him by his wife Marta Bas Baisus." Ube'emes mahochalei kosher midi. The Eish loymer the kavonas hagemor the kevin the hu hayo atzadik vafilu hocha yetzarech litein mois luuk milakuna gdoila im kein chazina de leosu kedin toira lule ha mois. Okay, ain't there kosher marsha? He says like this. He says, avad givis, you could say he was a kosher. But the point that the Gemara is making is, look at the matzav. Nobody cared that he was a kosher. That wasn't Baba Cheshbon. The Cheshbon was the Cheshbon of the money. That was the Cheshbon. There was no other consideration. In other words, when something is bought and sold, it doesn't matter what the qualifications are. So even if there's somebody that has qualifications, give a cook. He is so superior that he should have been, this is what this Fasemis is saying, he is so superior that he should have been given the Kuna Gedoyla Mitzad Atzmai. But the Kuna Gedoyla was no longer measured by the qualifications of the person. So as great as Yeshua ben Gamla was, and he was the person that introduced the whole system of education to take care of the people whose father could not teach them. And this was the beginning of the yeshiva revolution, so to speak. That is not enough to grant him the kuna gedoyla. He's not such a bal madrega above and beyond his brothers, the other kohanim. Avada he was. Adarabba. The kasha is itself the teretz. Avada he was greater than everybody else. And he deserved on his own merits the kuna gedoyla. And Kibakuk, that Marta Basbaisis has to buy it for him, and for such a huge sum. Is that Mendoch the Matzah? And that's what the Gemara is trying to say. It doesn't say anything negative about Yeshua ben Gamla at all. Dozok the Sfas Emes. Bemes mehochalei kosher mid. Achatoises bebababasso echichum yevomis, deshom mashma, lohoye royulim noisei meyikaradin. He says, but there are those who don't agree, and they don't think that he really deserved to be the Kohen Gadol. The Ritva he quotes, and he says, the Ritva's teretz is that after the appointment to Kuna Gedoyla, which he didn't deserve, and which he wasn't shayach to, and which he wasn't roi lekach, that's when he had a psechveis like a hero tshuva, and he developed into a very special person who is being described by the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Chof Aleph Baram Zocha Oysa Yish Latoiv V'Yoshua Ben Gamla Shmoy Zok Tesfas Emes. He says V'Yitochen L'Foresh De Gam Zeh Nichlal B'Maymar Acherim Gadleyu Mishal Echov De Kulam Nasnu Koicham U'Tfilosam Ola V'Chziru L'Mutav V'Teida V'Daminam B'Gemara B'Samuch Bekitzer, what the Sfas Emes is saying is something really remarkable. He's saying that Gadleyu Mishel Echov doesn't necessarily refer to money, because he has to be Gadol Mehem Ba'Oysher. You know, Noi, well, now they have plastic surgeons, but Noi is not something you could do anything about. Either you have it or you don't have it. Koyach might also be the same. Depends what kind of koyach we're talking about. Eizu gibor. But one thing is crystal clear, that money, you can be poor one day, and people can shower monies upon you and lift you up and up and up, and you become a very wealthy person. Now the question is like this. Is such a thing possible in your nature? Can they elevate you? So he says an interesting thing. They worried about him, and they davened for him, and they wanted him to be matzliach, and they wanted him to shteig, and they wanted him to reach what he deserved to be a kohen gadol meikar hadin, not because he purchased it, but because he deserved it. So they were so intent upon his hatzlocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an inordinate amount of siyata d'shmaya, and he became a match. He became great. That this is a meiridika thought, that gadleyu mishal echov can sometimes mean b'koyach hatfila alone. You can elevate somebody. Zach meiridika darher. I think if a person's a Rebbe, and of course the Sfas Emes and Ger, I think you have this notion that ein melech b'lo yom. You know, there has to be an that's behind you, is interested in your hatzlocha. What do you mean interested in your hatzlocha? That it should be another 10,000 followers. So that I should be part of a great movement, that I should be part of a mass of Yidden that are subordinate to one Godel, to one Tzaddik, to one Rebbe. No. I want my Rebbe to be the Baal Madrega that I need so that I should have She'ifas. I want my Rebbe to be the Baal Madrega that I need so that he should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and save us. I need him to be great for my Avodas Hashem. The Kahuna needs the Kohen Gadol to be the greatest Kohen Gadol possible. Dozok the Sfas Emes, the Rebbe. That Gadleyu Mishel Echov means that the Echov have the Koyach to be Megadol him. And in this particular instance, Yeshua ben Gamla walks in, and the Kahuna Gedoyla becomes his mikveh tahara, because everybody is showering him with their tefillos, with their expectations. And I would like to go one step beyond the Sfas Emes, lishitase. It seems to me that if a person anticipates the transformation, realizes that he's now on the top of the pyramid, realizes that he's standing on a pedestal, such a person begins to think differently about life, begins to think differently about himself, and specifically about his shaychus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And all of a sudden, and this may be very, very true, he also does not think in terms of the narrowness of his chelik in the karbon of this individual kayin that's makriv, or his chelik in the hadlokas ha-menorah, if an individual kayin is matlik the menorah, and so on, or his truma that he's going to get. He is now thinking in terms that are universal, because he's the kayin gadol. He's going to be the one that's nichnas lifnai v'lifnim to daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Ribbono Shel Olam for Klal Yisrael, to daven for the Hatzlocha of Klal Yisrael, for Hatzlocha of other Yidden. Isn't it possible that the minute that he started taking that role seriously, he also started to think, so vos betzayin mitekleine kindalach, especially those who are Yisoyimim, or the children of Amei Haaretz, and they don't have a father to teach them, and they're going to remain naked and miserable, bereft of Torah completely, and what kind of life will they lead? And what is going to be with the rest of Klal Yisrael? Then he said to himself, Ich bin doch der Kohen Gadol. In me is Toli the Kahuna. In me is Toli the petitioning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lifnai V'Lifnim. B'zois Yavai Aaron al HaKadosh. If that's the case, then I have to worry about people. Three Viduyim. The Rambam, when he speaks about the Viduy of the Kohen Gadol, number three, he says a lashon al lashon kol Yisrael. He speaks on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael when he says chatasi avisi pashayti lefanecha. And that kohen gadol who says such a lashon al lashon kol Yisrael, he's talking about, doesn't say chatanu avinu pashanu, chatasi avisi pashayti. But then when he comes to Klal Yisrael, he says, Chatu Avu Pashu in the plural. What's the difference? When he's talking about himself, Chatasi Visi Pashaiti. The Kohen Gadol is still the individual. But by the time he gets to the Vida and the Sarah Mishtaleach, he says, Chatu Avu Pashu. I'm not thinking about myself. Now the whole of Klal Yisrael is my responsibility. When he picks that Goyrol, and it's Lashem Chatos, he is no longer mislabish in the itztala of the ani, he's mislabish in the itztala of the anachnu. Like a melech, his leif kol Yisrael, the kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim is the mechaper for all of Klal Yisrael biyachad. Isn't it possible that such a thought entered in his mind as he was about to go in to be makdid the k'tayrus on Yom Kippur? Rebbeinu da alma kula, if I'm worrying about Klal Yisrael, what about all those Yisayimim lachua na without Torah? Baram zocha yisa ish la tov Yeshua ben Gamla shmai. A meridik azach. That maybe dafka is going into the kuna gedoyla. It's just a thought of mine. Maybe that gufa gave Yeshua ben Gamla that sensitivity. It's a tchachten wegen yenem. A lot of times you're put in a position, in a situation, and all of a sudden your life perspective changes about everything because you are in that position. Whereas the day before, you might not have had that hasoga at all. There's no question. You know, Yoshua ben Nun nar lo yomish mitoicha oil, and all of a sudden he's the Ish Aloeda. You think that that appointment of Ish Aloeda didn't make major transformations. A father did. This whole hasaga of what it means to lead Klal Yisrael instead of being the Shoimeya and the Makabel, to be now the Noisein and the Manhik. It has to have made a tremendous change in the person. Because you have to be royal enough. Yeshua ben Gamla had it in him. But he didn't think about such a thing. It didn't dawn on him. Oilam kimin haginayik. Until he became the Kohen. Hagam, that the Kohuna Gedoyla was purchased for him. So it's kind of like me'az yotza mosaik, you know, something good happened as a result. Of course, his case was one of many. And all the other cases, when they thought about money and about power, and they never came to that hasaga. So that's Zohar Oysa Yishla Toiv, that this is a tremendous madrega.